right, guys, welcome back to part two of episode 237. We are now going to be diving into the specifics of how each subclass, each class, subclass, and tree was tuned. Reason I wanted to do this is because in the TWAB itself, as I mentioned in the last episode, they were kind of all over the place with the buffs and nerfs, and so I wanted to collect them all and associate them with their given classes and subclasses and trees so that we could really make a determination what we think is going to be good, what we think is getting hit pretty hard, what we think is kind of just riding under the radar.
Yeah.
So, Kutch, if you don't have anything to add, I think we can hop right into to Warlocks.
Yeah, let's dive in on the Warlocks here. I'll go ahead and take the lead. So the first thing that we're going to talk about is the change to the Warlock melees. This, and I think they say this in the TWAB, but I think this is long overdue. They reduced the Warlocks' melee range from 5.5 meters to 4.5 meters, matching Hunters and Titans. They also reduced the suppression time after melees, so Warlocks could melee longer ranges, but it was slower. Like, they had to wait a little longer between slaps. Now they can melee at exactly the same speed as Hunters and Titans, at exactly the same range as Hunters and Titans. I think this is overall a big win for Warlocks. It's a great change. I understand why they wanted to, like, offer some differentiation, but it just never quite worked out.
Yeah, and I mean, I don't think it was ever... Was this even really an intended thing? Like, they wanted Warlocks to have...
Yeah, well, this was intentional.
Well, not anymore. Now they're all the same. Yeah, I mean, that's to me, that's just kind of a wash, right? Like, playing as a Warlock player, having the extra range was, like, okay, but I don't think it ever really won me a battle, because usually with the wave latency goes, like, an extra meter, we still just traded if we were doing anything.
Yeah.
But the speed of the melee did certainly lose a couple battles. So maybe this is actually a little bit of a buff for them comparatively.
I think it is. I think it's ultimately better because, like you said, with latency in the game, that 1 meter of range, when you're in slapping distance or pocket sand distance for the Warlocks, it's not super meaningful. So anyway, let's talk about a change that I think is super meaningful and gives us some insight into the broader scope of the changes that they're making here. Dawnblade, the Firebolt Grenade, reduced the base cooldown from 82 seconds to 64 seconds. Reduced damage per bolt from 90 to 65. Increased damage versus PvE combatants by 15%. So this is a huge change to the Firebolt Grenade. It is going to be up a lot more, but it's also a lot less effective in terms of putting out damage. So this is what we have to look forward to with all the different grenades that we have. I think there's going to be a lot of variety in the way that they alter these. I hope there is.
Yeah. I mean, I'm trying to think how I want to say this. 64 seconds still seems like a long time, but again, that's base. I'm fairly confident that with perks and with exotics and with, playing the way everybody does and building the way people do, that they're going to be able to get that cooldown to a very, very low number. And potentially be throwing a lot of grenades, like really throwing a lot of fireball grenades. When you look at the changes, it's about a 30% decrease in cooldown, and it's about a 40% decrease in damage. So again, those two numbers are linked, kind of similar to the flux grenades that we're going to talk about in a little bit. And that's kind of why I think that the grenade cooldowns aren't necessarily going to go up by that much or really down by ridiculous amounts. Like, I don't think what we saw with flux grenades, I think that is the highest end of the spectrum. And I think this is probably the lowest end of the spectrum. I think that's probably why they gave us the numbers on these two.
Yeah, I mean, that would make a lot of sense. And we may see right now some fairly basic similarities. You know, it wouldn't be a stretch to imagine that arc bolt grenades are going to work somewhat similarly, with maybe a slightly longer cooldown since they can chain. So we'll see how it all plays out. But yeah, I do think, though, that this is a, like you said, it's not a crazy difference, but it's big. It's noticeable.
I think the ability to spec into throwing grenades really, really fast is probably going to overcome the difference in damage that it deals, because dealing 90 damage is already a pathetically low amount anyways. In my experience, like fire bolts and arc bolts to a certain extent were borderline useless grenades because of how little damage they did already. Now they're still a useless grenade, but you have the capability to potentially have them up a lot more quickly and throw a lot more of them. Maybe they're just something you use in PvE. We don't know. They got a 15% damage buff there.
Yeah. Okay, so middle tree only. Benevolent Dawn gets a 50% decrease.
That's near and dear to my heart. Benevolent Dawn is what we use with the Lamonarch Lumina Boots of the Assembly build. So basically when you heal or empower a teammate, or you give them an overshield or anything, it speeds up all of your recharge rates. It lasts for about 5 seconds. Now with the change, it's the equivalent of having it for like 2.5 seconds because it's been halved. That's a little bit of a bummer for me. We definitely were utilizing that really, really well to make sure that we always had overshield grenades or empowering rifts up. So that's going to hurt my build just a tiny little bit. I don't think it's going to be horrible for the majority of players, and also Well of Radiance is, I think, and you think too, getting a buff in terms of how quickly it's going to be up.
Yeah.
So I think it might be a wash. I think middle tree is probably going to be fine. Middle tree potentially may be stronger super wise if it's just the tiniest bit weaker in its neutral game.
Yeah, I would agree with that statement. You know, this is very much in line with all of the other changes that they're making. So while it is blatantly a nerf to the ability, it's a nerf that is directly matched with changes to every other source of this type of benefit. And so I think net, you're not necessarily going to be worse off. If you're going in that direction, you're still going to be on par with anyone else who's trying to get their abilities back. And Benevolent Dawn still gives you energy toward all of your abilities, which is something that almost nothing else does.
And then obviously Top Tree Dawn has no changes being made to it directly, at least not that they've told us yet. Obviously, Dawnblade is now getting a slower cooldown time, so we'll have that. And the Firebolt Grenade change. But Bottom Tree is getting Everlasting Fire. That's one of the in-super perks that we talked about earlier. So it was the one that basically, if you kept getting kills, you kept refunding your super energy, it can drag out and drag out. So they have nerfed that. The energy refund is going to decay a lot more aggressively. I think now it's going to max out after 2 kills or something like that.
I thought I saw 3, but yeah, it's going to... Or min out, I suppose. You're gonna get to the floor in terms of the amount of super energy that you can get back in half the time that it was previously taking. So it's gonna help in terms of reducing the number of times that you get killed by a Dawnblade and then respawn on the other side of the map and get killed by them again. That should, in theory, not happen anymore, or at least be much more rare.
So Dawnblade as a whole doesn't seem like it's going to be much worse off. Slower super cooldown, Bottom Tree gets that paired with Everlasting Fire not being as good. I would imagine that Bottom Tree probably ends up being the least used. Top Tree seems like it's going to be just totally fine with a slower super cooldown.
Yeah.
Middle Tree, arguably a buff. Potentially, maybe not even arguably a buff. I'm thinking middle tree might be pretty strong here.
Yeah, I think we'll see definitely some people who were using bottom tree switch to top. And I think we're going to see just a ton of Well of Radiance in PvE. So like literally the super, I think we're going to see up all the time in PvE. And because it's really relatively unchanged, I think it's going to be great for middle tree.
Yeah, and then next we're going to look at Stormcaller. So Stormcaller, all three are having, and really what this TWAB made me look at is, holy crap, Warlock has a lot of things which regen ability energy.
It does.
Like a lot. So Top Tree is getting Arc Web. Arc Web basically is enemies damaged by grenades chain deadly lightning, and each grenade or melee chain returns grenade energy. That has been decreased by 50%. Middle tree, ionic traces, which is defeating enemies has a chance to create ionic traces. Collecting ionic traces grants energy to all your abilities, decreased by 50%. Bottom tree, rising storm. Electrocuting melee ability recharges your super grenade and melee energy, decreased by 50%. Electrostatic Sturge, your rift lasts longer, charges faster when allies are near, decreased by 50%. So Stormcaller, in addition to having its super now take more time to load or to charge, all of the ability region abilities, which make up a substantial part of each tree, are all nerfed. I think Stormcaller's getting hit a little bit harder here than Dawnblade is.
I would agree. This is going to hurt Arc Buddy builds a lot, which, you know, I think a lot of people aren't really sad about. I'm a little sad about it because I love the Arc Buddies, but we will be seeing significantly less of them. And in fairness, in Trials, I was able to have an Arc Buddy up for half of every round, at least, more if I was doing well. So it's not entirely uncalled for. I can't really say that that's probably how the game is meant to be played, but yeah, Stormcaller is taking a pounding here. I think this really hurts a lot of what it had going for it.
And it also has one of its Stormcaller specific exotics, Crown of Tempest, which is arc ability kills restore arc abilities. The grenade, melee, and super energy regen has been reduced from 7 seconds to 4 seconds in PvP. No change in PvE. So that exotic also getting worse on top of it.
Yeah, it's insult to injury. It was really the class abilities. I'm sure there were people running Crown of Tempests, but I think that, in my opinion at least, I think that was probably already better in PvE than it was in PvP. Now it's just made fact.
Yeah, so Stormcaller coming down a little bit in my internal tier list. Moving on to Voidwalker. Really the only tree getting touched is Nova Warp, and I feel like Nova Warp just got absolutely spanked for PvP. So Dark Matter got its ability regen taken down by 50%, which is unfortunate for Middle Tree, because they also got Handheld Supernova made weaker. It deals reduced damage versus players. It only deals 150 damage max, which means it cannot one-shot a player in PvP. Now, they did increase the damage versus bosses and champions by 30%, which is huge. And they increased the projectile range from 12 to 14 meters. And it also pushes targets away from the Warlock on detonation. So it's a little bit more of a tool and less of a weapon, necessarily, now. It's definitely a lot better in PvE. And then Nova Warp, they also increased the damage versus champions and bosses by 30% in PvP. So I, again, this is now the second time we've seen this. I kind of feel like they're saying, look, this stuff was annoying in PvP. We don't want it to be annoying again. It's really good in PvE now. Use it in PvE.
Yeah, that is definitely the feeling I'm getting here. And, you know, one thing that they sort of mentioned offhand, and we'll talk about this when we get to the Titans more, but I think it's relevant to Handheld Supernova. But shotguns have been brought down significantly over the past several months. And shotguns were one of the primary tools of counterplay against some of these up-close one-shot abilities. So I think that is why we're seeing these two touched and the Hunter throwing knife not touched. Because shotguns aren't really a counter to the throwing knife. Weighted throwing knife was always much harder to use than either of these abilities. And at this point, I think it remains much, much harder to use effectively. There are some players that I see that either just get phenomenally lucky or are phenomenal with it. I think there's a little from column A and a little from column B in that regard. But it's a precision weapon, right? And these are not precision weapons. And I think that's why we're seeing them get brought down. I think melees going forward, we're much less likely to see one-shot kill in that slot, unless it is a precision kill.
And this is one of the things that I have an issue with, was the change to handheld supernova. Reason being, because they offered the ability to not have had to make this change. And the reason why I don't like this change is because handheld supernova takes some time to activate. You're vulnerable while you activate it. There's an animation. It has travel time. It's a projectile, right? Like, there are risks to using handheld supernova. The trade-off was that it was lethal. If you used it and used it well, you killed your opponent. Now they're saying, like, oh, well, it'll push the opponent away from you. And that's great if and only if the opponent basically has a shotgun and you push them out of shotgun range. Any other gun, in the time it takes you to charge this, throw it, and use it, my concern is that even if you hit a player with it perfectly, they're still just going to kill you in the time it takes for you to do that. And again, I really, 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 really don't like the change to shoulder charges either, because we've seen a shoulder charge before that was not a one-hit kill. And this was in a sandbox where guns were weaker and other abilities were weaker. And the shoulder charge wasn't a one-hit kill, and it was fucking useless. It was entirely and totally useless. And my concern is that any one of these, like, long animation, long wind-up, long charge time abilities needs to kill when you land it, like weighted throwing knife does, because you're at a huge disadvantage for using it, for activating it. And if it doesn't kill, you basically just put yourself in a position to get killed. And maybe I'll be wrong. Maybe the push away on detonation will be enough. Maybe 150 damage will be enough to where people have taken chip damage enough that you are still killing people relatively consistently. But one thing that's not going to happen is you're putting damage on someone while they're running towards you. You stop putting damage on them to charge your grenade to throw it at them, right? Like, that's not going to happen, with the exception being if you are very close behind cover and you can duck behind cover, charge the grenade, pop out. But you know what I'm saying? Like, I feel like the risk versus reward is now way, way, way weighted towards risk and less towards reward. When, to me, the whole point of the variable ability cooldown was just make the cooldown way longer. Because if it's a highly lethal thing, do what you did with Flux Grenade and just make the cooldown way longer.
Well, so they can't do that with handheld supernova, right? Shoulder charge is totally different story. Can, we can talk about that when we get there.
They can with Bleak Watcher, because they did it with Shadebinder. With Bleak Watcher, when you equip Bleak Watcher, it sets the cooldown to the maximum cooldown for a grenade in that class.
But that is a stasis ability, right? And so they can tune those differently. Void, maybe when Void 3.0 comes out, we'll see a change to the way that handheld supernova works.
I would hope so, because it's a bummer. And also, I didn't feel like Middle Tree needed to get hit this hard. Nova Warp is strong-ish, especially after its recent buff. But I feel like it got, like, the double whammy of its strongest ability gets nerfed, and then its secondary ability that allows it to recharge also gets nerfed. And Nova Warp has also had its cooldown brought down. You know, to me, when I'm looking now at the Voidwalkers, I'm like, I'm going to run freaking Devour. Like, that's what I'm going to do. Because Devour definitely didn't get nerfed. And, I mean, it got nerfed with the grenade cooldown. But I'm just going to pick the fastest grenade and run Devour.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, we may see some changes to Devour in terms of cooldown as well. Or maybe that's the trade-off. You use Devour, but you pick the fastest cooldown and it's the weakest grenade. Mm-hmm. And so you have to play Devour then. But I guess, you know, it's one of those things where they could take it either way. At this point, what we can say about handheld supernova is that it is not a weapon that you would use in the middle of a firefight. It is a tool that you would use when you know someone is pushing you and you are trying to bait them to come around the corner and get beat.
And they've already taken damage. That's very important.
Or you have a hand cannon out and ready to finish them off.
But you can't use a shotgun anymore to finish them off because you're going to push them away. So you're going to push them out of shotgun range.
Well, no, that's why I said a hand cannon, right? You boop them away, you shoot them in the face with a hand cannon, game over.
Voidwalkers also had an exotic armor piece take a nerf. Well, not even necessarily really a nerf. It's a little bit of a nerf for PvP. Controversial hold. The grenade regeneration buff was random between 1 and 4 seconds, weighted towards 1 second. Now it's fixed at 1.75 seconds, so on average it will be higher. They've reduced the grenade energy regeneration scale by 50% PvP, which is typical because they've done that for everything else. They have made no change in PvE, so it's just better in PvE now.
Yep. And they note that the previous average duration due to the waiting was 1.71 seconds, with a 1 second duration being most common. So essentially what they've done is they've just made it consistent. They've taken the average, given us the benefit of the doubt, and now it's a fixed thing, so you know what you're getting. I like that change because I am not a huge fan of random benefits, same, especially if they're weighted toward the worst option. It's just like, I'll just use something that I know what I'm getting from, even if it's worse.
Same.
Because at least then I can mentally adapt to it.
And then Shadebinder, Winter's Wrath, they have reduced Shatter Pulse damage versus enemy supers. So now all supers must be frozen and shattered twice to eliminate, which is a good change. It's still, in my opinion, the most annoying super of all time, but super long cooldown now because it's up in tier one.
It is. What the word that really caught my eye here was generally. Must now generally freeze and shatter all supers twice to eliminate. What I read that as is must freeze and shatter all supers except for Golden Gun, which they only have to shatter once. Yeah.
The one super that has shit damage resistance and just gets, you know, dumped on. Three shot Golden Gun is way of the sharpshooter. Way of the sharpshooter Golden Gun, man, just cannot catch a break. Hey, at least they still get waiting throwing knife though, right? At least they still get weighted throwing knife.
That's the one thing that it really has going for it right now.
Penumbral Blast, they said it was too hard to use in PvE after the nerf, so they've increased the proc stat radius by 100% PvE only. And then Bleak Watcher, while Bleak Watcher is equipped, all stasis grenades recharge at the slowest grenade recharge rate, which is Glacier Grenade Rate. That's a good change. These are all good changes to Shadebinder. Personally, you know, I would have taken the super and just shoved it straight into the ground, but because they have, I believe, pretty dramatically increased the recharge rate by putting it down tier one, I think it should be okay.
Yeah, in this case, because of the dramatic changes that I am expecting to see in super recharge rate, especially for those tier one supers, it's funny that tier one is bad. I know they did it to match with the tiers for all of the ability recharges, which get better as they get higher, but it is just like the opposite of how people online generally put things into tiers. And so it's confusing.
It's totally throwing me off. Like totally throwing me off every time I want to talk about it.
Yes, tier one is bad. This is a case where I'm of the wait and see mindset. I don't find Winter's Wrath to be too obnoxious at the moment. It's a super that I run away from as a rule, unless I happen to, you know, be on their flank by accident. But yeah, I would be wait and see here, and I'm okay with that. Then they also have a change to the stag noted here. They reduce the class ability energy refund on shield break by 50% in PvP, no change in PvE. This is in line with every other change that they've made to energy refund perks.
Arc buddy builds just getting slapped around with this change, which is probably good because they were a little bit, I think, too strong for the amount of investment you had to put into them. But yeah,
there was so much investment. I had to eat my grenade and then get kills and then activate my rift, which is a lot of investment, and then get kills.
It's more investment than and then some things, right? Like,
yeah,
clearly Shatter Dive was not enough of an investment. I think if Shatter Dive is not enough of an investment, then Warlock Arc Buddy is probably not enough of an investment. But yeah, they definitely just got slapped around. So looking at the Warlocks as a whole, my viewpoint is kind of Shadebinder's coming down in PvP, Nova Warp's coming down in PvP, all the Stormcallers are coming down in PvP. I'm looking at it like if I had to pick a couple of Warlock trees, I'd be top tree Dawn, which still seems to be okay, middle tree Dawn, and the Nova Bombs, specifically Devour Nova Bomb, I think would be where I'd have to go.
Yeah, I don't think there's any way that I could disagree with that
for PvP
at present.
For PvP
specifically, yeah. For PvE, I think it's largely still going to be a case of use what you like, and have fun, and, you know, base it around the specific strategy that you're using for the content that you're playing. But for PvP, they just can't seem to find a way to make changes to Warlock that does not result in Dawnblade being a very strong choice.
All right. Moving on to Hunter, yeah. Then the favorite subclass of everybody on the podcast. Dodging. So dodging is getting some changes. It is getting a little bit of a nerf, which I think we knew that this was going to happen.
A lot of listeners have to be very happy right now.
Yeah, that I am sure of. A lot of people in Crucible have to be very happy. So no longer breaks projectile tracking, still breaks AA. To me, this is kind of a weird change. If I actually wanted to nerf dodge, I would have done it the other way around. I feel like breaking AA with the dodge, aim assist with the dodge is way more common and frustrating than breaking tracking with the dodge. It's kind of weird to me that, like, this is less. It's like, okay, well, like, now I can't dodge out of the way of skip grenades, but okay, I can still break AA every single engagement.
I'm going to be honest, that's actually more annoying to me. I have never really had an issue shooting hunters who are dodging. Maybe it's because I'm so used to using that motion that I sort of know where they're going to be. The only one that throws me is the exotic helmet. But just if someone's using a regular dodge, it's really not an issue for me to just aim at them while they're dodging. And it's free time for me to shoot them while they can't shoot back, is the way I look at it.
You know that there's actually a way... Oh, I don't actually know if I should be saying this. There's a way to remain in first person while you dodge and continue to shoot and do everything that you would, but you still play the external animation to the person that you're engaging with. Super, super nice to be able to use that. But
yes, not the way that the game was intended to be played.
Real fun though. Anyways, we don't need to talk about that. So yeah. Marksman's dodge, tier 10 mobility cooldown has been increased from 11 seconds to 14 seconds. Not a huge change second-wise, but a pretty substantial change percentage-wise. Base cooldown is unchanged at 29 seconds. Thank God for me, because I use Marksman's dodge. So it's not going to like wreck. It's not going to like wreck my builds,
I'm
which is what I was
concerned
about.
Super happy about this. Gambler's dodge goes from 11 seconds to 18 seconds at tier 10. The base goes from 29 seconds to 38 seconds. Massive penalty here. And honestly, I think for the majority of people, this really hurts their PvE game a lot more than PvP. That's at least the way I play. I do not use Gambler's Dodge in the Crucible except by accident. So,
yeah. But a lot of people do use it, especially at high levels. A lot of people use it because of the way it changes your silhouette of the character.
Yeah.
And that it breaks AA. It makes it much, much harder to kill a dodging hunter when they do this than when they use Marksman's Dodge.
Yep. And that really is the only reason to use it in the Crucible. So I totally understand that. But
did you know that the animation that plays in Halo Reach, there was an ability called Evade, which was like a dodge, and the Gambler's Dodge animation your character does is the same animation as the evade animation from Halo Reach.
Huh.
Like, they ported that animation over one-to-one and gave it to the hunters.
Interesting. I did not know that.
Trivia. Just like Beneath Twin Suns. Trivia. Anyways, Gunslinger. So, Bottom Tree, which is not Six Shooter. It is Way of the Sharpshooter. Has a perk called, or has an ability called Practice Makes Perfect, which is reduces cooldown of super with crit hits. 50% decrease in ability regen to keep it in line with everything else. And that's pretty much the only change to it, other than the fact that it got totally shafted with the placement of the super in the tier list, because Six Shooter is dragging it all the way down that tier list. And really, I think it should be a lot higher up. I think it should be tier 3, tier 2, or goddamn, tier 3, tier 4.
Yeah.
Dude, it's going to take me forever to get that right.
You know what? I think once you start seeing it in the interface, it'll cement itself pretty quickly. But until then, you're going to get it wrong every time.
Just very annoying.
Yeah. Sadly, this just makes Bottom Tree Gunslinger that much worse in PvP. And honestly, worse in PvE, which is perhaps the one place where it really had some kind of advantage, because at least you could lean into Celestial Nighthawk with it. And you still can, but it's just not as good.
So did you notice, talking about Gunslinger still, going to Middle Tree now, Wave 1000 Cuts, did you notice that they did not mention that they were nerfing any of the ability recharge things for Wave 1000 Cuts? So it has, while your enemies burn, your dodge ability recharges faster. And it also has, well, what's the other one? Doesn't it have something else that's like...
Your knives, yeah.
Yeah, and... Oh, it's destroying burning enemies recharges knife trick more quickly. That's playing with fire.
Yep.
Neither one of those two got a nerf. I wonder if that's intentional because Blade Barrage is such a weak subclass right now, or if they just left them out of the patch or left them out of the TWAB or something like that.
Yeah, I think it's intentional. I think that they did not change it. And the reason I think that is that Arc Strider has a similar effect that they did not mention. I found it odd that they left both of those out.
Freaking Arc Strider, man. We're all going to have to switch to Arc Strider. Whoever it is that wants to make Arc Strider happen, we'll help you make Arc Strider happen.
I think Arc Strider is going to happen right up until Void 3.0, and I think we're all going to be playing Void subclasses for 3 months straight. But... yeah, it's going to be pretty good for hunters to run Urk. So Revenant, let's talk about it. Shatter Dive got nerfed. We all know that. It's now bad in PvP. Don't use it. It sucks. Shatter damage in PvE, super awesome. Use it in PvE constantly. Only play Stasis. It's amazing. I think we all get the picture. Grim Harvest, that's shards on slowed and frozen kills, increase the fragment slots from 2 to 3, which I think is a needed change given the incredible damage done to Shatter Dive's efficacy in the Crucible, and is only going to help PvE that much more. More fragments, the better, so... no real surprises.
Yeah, Revenant, I think it's going to be really hard to run Revenant in PvP now. I don't think that I'm going to recommend it. But things we do recommend, Arc Strider over here. Only one really, really big change. I guess I shouldn't say that. Actually, two fairly substantial changes. But Flux Grenades, they increase the base cooldown from 82 to 182 seconds, and more than double... takes 3 minutes now to recover one of these grenades once you throw it, but they increase the attached detonation damage from 150 to 250, so it will one-shot kill in PvP. One-shot sticky grenades back on the menu, boys. We year 3 D1 now with solar grenades, but different from that, they removed the projectile tracking. There's a small amount of aim assist, which will help your reticle to track the target that you're throwing at, but the projectile itself will no longer track towards the target. That was always my biggest issue with sticky grenades, is exactly how much projectile tracking they had. I think this is... they also increased the throw speed by 117%, which I wonder if it was a shout out to Master Chief, who is Spartan 117, but and it also sticks to all surfaces, so it won't bounce or anything. Wherever you throw it to, it's going to stick. I kind of like this change. I kind of really, really like this change. I have long been like, bring back the one-hit sticky grenades, remove all projectile tracking, and let's see how they go. And they're finally doing it. So I'm kind of stoked about this.
I agree. Yeah, I am a fan of this. And so this is why I think that they're going to do this to one grenade from each class. I think hunters get the Arc one, Flux Grenade. I think that Warlocks, I think we're going to see... one-hit kill fusion grenades come back in a similar fashion. They might choose to add a little variety. Maybe they get a one-hit kill, but they burn the enemy down for those last few hit points. And then the magnetic grenade for our Titans, I think, is going to one-hit kill on the second... or I think it's going to kill on the second explosion. And I think that leaves them some room to have maybe... better cooldowns on those two, since they are perhaps not quite as directly effective as the Flux. This is why I think we're going to see one-hit kill grenades, though, is because they did it with the Flux, and I think it would be really bizarre if they did not give every class at least one one-hit kill grenade. Call me crazy.
And Top Tree, in addition to the change to the Flux grenade, gets Combination Blow, which is always kind of a really weak, weird melee for PvP. So you have to kill an enemy with it, and when you kill them, it triggers health regen and increases your melee damage temporarily. Was pretty darn near useless in PvP, but they've reduced the base cooldown from 96 seconds to 15 seconds. So you could basically have a charged melee up as often as you have a hunter dodge up. And to me, I'm already thinking about the different ways that I can potentially abuse this.
Well, so it's interesting, right? So let's just revisit that tree real quick. So that is combined with Deadly Reach. Dodging increases your melee range, allowing you to lunge further to strike enemies. And then Combat Flow. Melee kills recharge your dodge ability. So this would be the one time that I do like to pair Gambler's Dodge with it, is because you can get that going. I love to run this combination in PvE in the past, especially whenever arc damage was called for, because you can just dodge around, punching everything, and Combination Blow is super effective in PvE. Way more effective now. It's going to be up constantly. You're never going to not have it.
I'm just thinking about how I can pair this with Liar's Handshake, which is using your arc melee ability or being hit by a melee attack allows you to follow up with an extremely powerful melee counterpunch. Mm-hmm. I'm just thinking about how I can combine having a 15-second charged melee, which that's the base cooldown. The base.
Yeah.
What if you have tier 10 strength? What if you have tier 10 strength and Gambler's Dodge and Liar's Handshake?
Yeah.
Like, my mind is spinning there. And Flux Grenades, because why not?
I think the message here is don't punch an Arc Strider, because they might be running cross counter and they might one shot you.
Yeah. We can hope. We can dream. Are there any charge of light builds that increase melee damage?
I don't think there's anything like that. Certainly not for PvP.
We should figure that out. Anyways, moving on to Night Stalker. Bottom Tree Night Stalker. Vanish and Smoke melee reduced the base cooldown from 96 to 75 seconds. That Vanish and Smoke was already really good.
It was.
Really good. And now it's even better on a faster cooldown. My plan has always been to traverse from Revenant to Top Tree Night Stalker after this. But with the Vanish and Smoke buff, I might have to turn down. I might have to go with Bottom Tree. I mean, the super is wildly useless for the most part. But geez, those smoke grenades, especially if you're using something like Omnioculus or anything, or, you know, Graviton, anything that recharges your abilities either while you're invisible or once you use them, you could potentially be invisible a very, very high percentage of the time.
So the other thing to keep in mind is that Vanish and Smoke is incredibly, incredibly potent in PvE. So not only does it make you and nearby allies invisible, it also provides the Heart of the Pack buff, which grants weapon haste that just increases all of your weapon animations and increases mobility, recovery, and resilience. So it makes your entire team invisible and better. And the Heart of the Pack buff lasts even if they use their weapons. So you can ignore the invisibility if you just want to drop this melee right when you go into a damage phase. Like, you can shrug off any adds. All of your weapon animations are faster, so if anyone has to reload, that's happening faster than it otherwise would be possible. It's a very, very good ability. Tons of utility.
And then General Hunter Exotic Armor Frosties no longer stacks multiplicatively in PvP with other regeneration buffs, which is sad, because I use that a lot, and it was wonderful. It's now just an additive scaler, so it still gives the bonuses that it normally gives. It just doesn't stack quite as well, so that's not really a huge nerf for Frosty. But yeah, I can definitely tell you that I was stacking that with some other buffs and getting stuff back pretty much instantaneously. So if we look at hunters as a whole, I feel like Gunslinger, not Blade Barrage. Blade Barrage, I feel like, got a comparative buff, like a pretty substantial comparative buff. I think it's still going to be mostly shit in PvP. It should be okay in PvE. I feel like Gunslinger kind of got a nerf. Bottom Tree Gunslinger, Way of the Sharpshooter, definitely got a nerf. Because yeah, between Practice Makes Perfect and the super now taking longer to regen, I think Bottom Tree Gunslinger... Now, granted, it has Waiting Throw Knife. So if you're a Waiting Throw Knife connoisseur, that's, you know, that's pretty much your only option. But at the same point, I feel like Weighted Throwing Knife, like, why not just use Flux Grenades now? Flux Grenades, you don't even have to hit a headshot. And they increase the throwing speed. And you can use Fastball. So...
yeah, I mean, so Flux Grenades, the only price is that recharge time. You just have to spec into it super hard.
Revenant got absolutely obliterated in PvP.
It did.
But is now great in PvE.
The one thing Revenant still has going for it right now is that it's the only option, and this is true of all of the stasis classes. I'm just going to call it out now. It's the only option if you want to get those sweet, sweet stat bonuses off your fragments. And those are still very nice. But Void 3.0, boy, goodbye stasis.
And it can use Bokris too.
Yeah.
So there are still reasons to run Revenant. However, what I'm seeing here is that I feel like there's a lot more reasons to give Arcstrider a chance coming out of these changes. There's a lot more reasons to give Bottom Tree Nightstalker a chance coming out of these changes. Probably not in PvP, but there's more reasons to give Blade Barrage a chance. I'm feeling like outside of Weighted Throwing Knife, I'm probably going to avoid Gunslinger. And even with the stat bonuses, and even with using Bokris, and even with the relative buff to the super, my heart's just broken. They broke my heart like a hunter shatter dived right on top of it. And I don't know if I can play Revenant anymore in PvP.
Well, so you reminded me, I forgot to call it out, but I mean, just to add a final nail to the coffin, Arcstrider also has Bottom Tree, which has Focused Breathing. Sprinting recharges your dodge ability, and it increases your maximum sprint speed. And it's got Lightning Reflexes. You're harder to kill while dodging. It's got Combat Meditation. While critically wounded, melee and grenades recharge drastically faster. And then Disorienting Blow, I guess, is just icing on the cake. Disorients the target and nearby enemies when you strike with your melee. So... Arcstrider, man, has a lot going for it, and it's coming out of this looking primo.
Now, we are making an assumption that they didn't just forget to put that stuff in the patch notes, and that, or in the TWAB, and that in the patch notes it's going to come out, and they're going to nerf everything.
We could find out that, in fact, Arcstrider is getting kicked where the sun don't shine in the patch notes, in which case this is all moot, but... right now.
Jeez, what a giant waste of time this would be.
Based on what we know, it looks very appealing.
Yeah. All right, over to Titans then. Titans, they are changing the barricades, so they keep trying to make Rally Barricade happen in PvP too. I can tell that there are people at Bungie who have like their favorites, and they're like, I'm going to make this popular. Rally Barricade decreasing the cooldown from 37 seconds to 32 seconds, and Towering Barricade increasing the cooldown from 37 seconds to 40 seconds.
I don't like this change. I think that this hurts Titans and is totally unnecessary. I don't know why they're making Towering Barricade take longer. I think that is just a mistake. And I feel like I could word that more strongly, but I really don't want to attack someone personally who thought this through and saw numbers and things, but I just don't get it.
I think it's 3 seconds.
I mean,
it's
sure,
hardly going to have any effect at all.
But why do it at all then? If it's only 3 seconds, why even bother?
Why did they do the slide nerf way back that like didn't do anything except for every once in a while make you just randomly miss a shot?
Yeah, I agree. I didn't like that change either.
Yeah.
But I'm fine with them giving Rally Barricade a faster cooldown. That makes sense. Towering Barricade getting literally getting nerfed is a bit confusing to me. It's not a crazy powerful ability as is.
I'm a lot more upset with the changes to shoulder charge
than
I am to the barricade. The barricade things, I was kind of like, yeah, it is what it is, whatever. Half the time I forget I have one up. So fine, cool. Like it sucks. But the shoulder charge changes, man.
Yeah.
No longer one shot any players. Now, they did make them feel a lot better. So the activation time has been decreased. It used to be a second and a half of sprinting. Now it's a second and a quarter. The increased range has gone up by over a meter from 5.5 to 6.8. The targeting cone has been increased by about 10%, and they increased damage versus PvE combatants by 25%. So great, it's better in PvE, it feels better. But again, we've lived in a world where there were non-one-shot shoulder charges, and they are totally and completely useless because you end up right next to the opponent who is now still alive. And you have an animation to play. Number one, you have to be sprinting straight at them. You have an animation that plays while you're doing the melee. You have an animation that plays after you finish the melee before you can do anything again. And now you're standing right next to them. Now, if it like bumped them back or something, kind of like the way they did with handheld Supernova, then maybe. But we already went through this experiment once. And when shoulder charge can't one-shot someone, it is very nearly useless in PvP.
I was torn because I really just find shoulder charge very annoying.
I love shoulder charge. It's one of my favorite abilities, honestly. Like, it makes the Titan to me. It's so Titan-esque.
It is very Titan-esque.
I can't play any of the Titan subclasses that don't have shoulder charge. Now I'm free to play other ones, which, if that was your goal, to get Mercules to play other Titan subclasses that didn't have shoulder charge, then you've succeeded. But
ultimately, yeah, I think I probably agree with you. So there are a couple of things I don't like about shoulder charge. One, I'm a better hunter, and when I accidentally activate my melee, it just goes away and I lose it. And Titans get to use their melee for movement, and that just sort of annoys me. So for that reason, I'm a little bitter. And I'm like,
you are a better hunter. Titans need that, man. They need all the help they can get.
But ultimately, I think this is probably something they're going to walk back. I think, and maybe I'm wrong, but I think it's weird for shoulder charge not to kill. And it is sort of surprising that they didn't just make the cooldown really high. So you get your free kill, and then you have to wait, and you don't have your movement ability anymore, and so there's a price to pay. And that is a trade-off that I could live with. I could live with getting shoulder charged, you know, once every couple of minutes. I'm not going to be happy about it. I'm going to remain bitter in my heart, but I won't say anything about it. And so it's a little surprising that this is the direction that they went. The only thing that would justify it in my mind is if they added some kind of meaningful effects onto all of the shoulder charges. And they did that with Top Tree Striker, which I liked. Top Tree Striker, if I can just jump forward here. Aftershocks, I got a 50% decrease. Not really a surprise there. Seismic Strike. Reduced AoE damage from 90 to 40. Now blinds enemies in the area on hit. Increased base cooldown from 82 to 90 seconds. I like that change. I think adding a game-changing effect makes it a more dynamic and interesting choice. And if, you know, with that, in combination with having shoulder chargers not be one hit, I think that takes some of the sting out of it in my eyes. Now, I'm not a Titan main, and I can totally understand that someone's going to be like, it doesn't take any of the sting out of it. I feel that, but I do think it gives them an option to make shoulder charge more interesting if they take that path.
I mean, yeah, the blinding enemies is helpful, right? Because now it blinds enemies in the area. Like maybe I have a chance to finish off with a second melee or a shotgun shot or something. Like maybe I have a chance now to clean up an opponent because they're blind. But you also increase the base cooldown, right, by 8 seconds. So it's like insult to injury. You decrease the AoE damage. So now it's like, now I really need to use like feedback fences or dune marchers or something to try to get that AoE back up. And then in addition, because it's Striker and they haven't separated Fist of Havoc yet, I'm at the tier one cooldown for my shitty ass top tree Fist of Havoc. So it's like, to me, it's like, okay, maybe I'm having to now like do so much extra just to get back to like a shittier version of the melee that I already had. And now the super is worse. I feel like Titans really got shafted on this. Everything we've talked about, I've been like, oh, well, some warlocks went up, some went down. I'm happy with these. Some hunters went down, some went up. I'm happy with these. With Titans, I'm like, they all kind of went down. And I think that kind of sucks. But like I said, so top tree Striker, I'm kind of writing it off preemptively a little bit. I'm just like writing it off. Like I'm going to give this one like one or two games just to see, but on paper, it looks really, really unappealing now that I can't one hit shoulder charge and my super is going to potentially take forever to recharge.
Yeah. I mean, I hear where you're coming from. I do.
You just don't care because you're like, I don't screw care. The Titans. They deserve this.
I'm going to be honest. I won't miss it. I really don't like shoulder charge. So let's go ahead and move on. Middle tree inertia override, 50% decrease as expected. Bottom tree, knockout, melee lunge range and melee damage bonus now deactivate after a melee kill. I suppose this is salt in the wound since you are going to have a lot more trouble getting a melee kill in PvP. Does it sound like I'm smiling as I read this? Because I feel like it does.
You're getting too much joy out of this. You should not be the one to read this. I have sympathy for our Titan brethren. Titan is my second favorite class behind Hunter. And I really enjoyed playing these Titan classes. Not Bottom Tree. I'm pretty happy Bottom Tree got nerfed because Bottom Tree was annoying as shit. But Bottom Tree got railed, though.
Yeah. It did. It truly did. I shouldn't be smiling as big as I am. But I'm actually, the more I talk about it,
the happier,
the more
you
gleeful
are.
I become. Trample, super energy gain from Fist of Havoc light attack now decays to a minimum amount over 3 PvP kills, down from 7. This, you know, this is what we talked about before with the in super. I think was absolutely justified.
Oh yeah.
That change by itself, I think is the one change to Titan that I think anyone would be hard pressed to argue against in good faith.
Well, the two, because Fist of Havoc, they also reduced the slam radius from 8 meters to 6 meters because they had buffed it for top tree. And for some reason, they buffed it for bottom tree, too. And it turned it into a monster.
Yeah.
And so thankfully, they reduced that back down. So Trample and Fist of Havoc getting nerfed, plus the cooldown is now supposed to be longer. It's definitely going to be a much, much worse super. I still have a feeling it's going to be pretty strong.
I'm actually sort of blown away that the frontal assault cooldown went from 82 to 106. That just seems like they didn't add anything to it. The ability is worse, just categorically.
Yeah, they hit pretty much everything.
That was surprising.
Pretty much everything on bottom tree Striker got hit in some way.
Because like seismic strike now blinds people. and it recharges at night. Like, they really are trying to make Top Tree a lot more appealing is the only way to read that. Like, they're like, play Top Tree, please.
They didn't do a good job. What they did was...
Well, give you a free grenade.
What they did was make me not want to play Top Tree or Bottom Tree is really what they did here, which is fine because Bottom Tree was, you know, high usage, high win rate. Like, it didn't necessarily... It needed to be touched. I kind of would have expected that they were just going to touch Trample and Fist of Havoc, and then it still, in my opinion, would have been a good subclass just without a broken super, now just a pretty good super. But then also hitting Frontal Assault and Knockout, to me, feels a little bit like overkill, but maybe they're like, well, the super's still pretty good, so let's take something else away. But I don't know, man, it feels like a lot.
The neutral game got hit hard. On top of the super getting hit hard, I got to think we're going to see a lot fewer Striker Titans over the next 6 months.
Yeah.
At least.
Maybe we'll see some mid-tree ones, but then moving on to Sentinel, Shield Bash, they reduce the AoE damage from 90 to 40. They increase the base cooldown from 82 to 90 seconds. Like, that one's just salt in the wound. Like, you didn't even add anything. I know it already disorients on hit, but you didn't really add anything to it. Like, it's just straight up worse now. And I loved Shield Bash on my Sentinel, especially with Doomfang Pauldrons. And then double salt in the wound, they nerfed Doomfang Pauldrons. They reduced the super energy gain on activation when an opposing player is killed by a Void Melee by 50%. So it's like, man, the only thing I enjoyed about... But
that had to happen.
The only thing I enjoyed about playing Sentinel, which is not a high use or high win rate class, the only thing I enjoyed about playing Sentinel was Doomfang Pauldrons and Shield Bash and getting my super up, and they took all those things away. It's like, okay, well, now I don't want to play Sentinel anymore either.
Sentinel does need some love, I think.
Which it'll get with Void 3.0, I'm sure.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. I think we'll see probably very little from Sentinel until Void 3.0, and we'll see what's what when they come out with that. But it is certainly getting smacked upside the head right here. Sunbreaker, Hammer Strike, reduced direct impact damage from 170 to 120, increased base cooldown from 82 to 90. I feel like this is pretty much in line with what we've seen for everything else, so I guess I'm not really surprised.
You got to think for both Sunbreaker and for Sentinel, their supers are in tier 2 for Sentinel and tier 1 for Sunbreaker. So, I mean, that in itself is a bit of a nerf, and it's pulling those down. So Sentinel for me has like really been pulled down, at least until they split Ward of Dawn off. Sunbreaker has now been pulled down a little bit too. Honestly, like to me, it's starting to look like maybe Burning Maul is the way to go. But I'm pretty sure that they also, I feel like they did something to Ashen Wake or whatever, to where now you're not going to be able to like one hit those grenades. But I don't know. It is what it is. Either way, I feel like Sunbreaker also got a nerf. Between Hammer Strike not being super functional anymore in PvP and the super now being a tier 1 super, which means I think it's going to take a lot longer to recharge.
Yeah. Yeah, I have to agree. So that brings us to Behemoth. Diamond Lance, they increased the fragment slots from 1 to 3. I think that's great. Now spawns a Diamond Lance upon killing a PvE combatant with a stasis weapon, killing 3 players with stasis weapons in a single life, killing an enemy with a stasis ability, shattering an enemy. Shiver Strike, increased Shiver Strike damage while in Glacial Quake by 50%. So play Behemoth in PvE.
Yeah, same as they did with Revenant. They're like, let's make it happen in PvE. Let's get it going.
Yeah, yeah, flat out. The fragment slot increase feels pretty big to me. I think that's going to be very nice. Certainly, it's going to give people the opportunity to get some delicious stat splits that were not possible before. So, that might be, again, your one reason to play this class in PvP is because you want to just max out your stats across the board, And Behemoth can do it like nobody else right now. But boy, 3.0 is coming. Not that you've got a lot right now to be excited about in the Void classes. So they're really going to have to come out strong for Titans with Void 3.0, I think, to get people worked up about it.
Yeah, if we're talking Titans the same way we did Warlocks and Hunters and like what we want to play, I don't really want to play Top Tree Striker. I don't really want to play Bottom Tree Striker anymore. Although I think Bottom Tree Striker is still going to be relatively strong. I don't think it's going to be great. Middle Tree is like okay, but Inertia Override was definitely one of the stronger perks that it had, and now it's a little bit weaker. Sentinel, I don't really want to play Sentinel at all now, at least not until Void 3.0 when they split off War to Dawn. Sunbreaker, I definitely don't want to play. Top Tree with Hammer Strike. Maybe Code of the Siegebreaker for some sunspots, but again, I'm getting the super slow cooldown now. So I mean, I guess Burning Maul, but Burning Maul just has never really struck me as like the most fun of subclasses. So I mean, coming out of this, I'm kind of feeling like Titans got the short end of the stick on this balance pass.
Yeah, you know, I give Titans a hard time, but in all fairness, I do think they came out the worst out of the three classes. And it's really not, I don't think, super close here. I think Bottom Tree Striker is still going to be a totally viable option. But it has been hurt significantly. It's absolutely less appealing than it might have been and than it is right now. Going forward, it's going to be a lot less appealing. So
yeah.
I don't know that I can say that there's a class in there, if I were to play Titan, that I would be like, that's the one. Yeah, I can't really point to one.
If you like Burning Maul, it's probably going to be Burning Maul because it's that, you know, it hasn't taken any direct nerfs. It may have arguably gotten a buff comparatively by not getting nerfed.
Yeah.
Or maybe Code of the Siegebreaker, which the only thing Siegebreaker got a nerf on was the super cooldown. Everything else that it does, and there's great synergy within Siegebreaker with the sunspots. Like, there really, really is. So maybe it has to be that one. And you just, you know, you were never really playing that specific subclass for the super entirely, but the super helps because the super generates sunspots. So it's like, even that synergy kind of got made a little bit weaker. I've got to think that really, like, Code of the Devastator comparatively, if everything else got brought down, Code of the Devastator is the one that just stayed where it was.
Yeah.
But that was like the weakest subclass out of all of them. So it's like, well, yeah, just nothing really super appeals to me. But yeah, that's, wow, that was a freaking marathon of changes. Overall, I like the direction that's going. I think it's going to be good for PvP to have less abilities in it. I really do. I think it's going to help to clean up the sandbox. I don't like all of the changes. Obviously, I got done complaining about Titans. You seem thrilled that they've been just ground into the dirt. But in general, I like a lot of the changes. Some of them don't sit right with me, in particular removing the one-hit abilities from Warlocks and Titans. But we'll kind of just have to see how it plays out. And, you know, also we made a bunch of assumptions here, and that bit us in the ass when we made assumptions about trials that ended up being wrong.
Yes.
But our assumptions are that the grenade cooldowns are not going to be, you know, ridiculous, like 30 seconds to a minute across the board. My assumption is they're going to be like 10 to 15 seconds, somewhere around there. And the melees are going to be, you know, 10 seconds, somewhere around there. Like, that's my assumption. It might be more than that. If it's more than that, we'll have to see. If it's hitting like the 30, 35, 40 second range on average for grenade cooldowns, I might be a little bit less favorable about this. Same thing with supers, right? If the supers have gone from a 5 minute average cooldown to like an 8 minute average cooldown, I might be a little bit less favorable about it. But as of right now, with the assumptions that we're making, I think most of the changes are pretty good.
Yeah, I think the thing to keep in mind here, too, when we see the patch notes, right, before we've even played, when we see the patch notes, if it says that supers have an 8 or a 9 minute cooldown, remember, that's the base. Tiers are going to change that, and kills are probably going to heavily influence that. And so I really, truly what we're going to have to do for cooldowns, for supers especially, is we're going to have to try to figure out what the rates are and then just sort of work out like, hey, what are your average kills per game? Here's how often you can expect to get a super. It's going to be a little math, but I think this overall sets up a platform for a game that I really want to play. I am very excited to see the possibilities with build crafting in Destiny going forward. I think that this is putting the game on the right footing for years to come. And that has me very excited. And did I get a little gleeful seeing the Titans get nerfed? Yeah, I did. But ultimately, I want balance. I think probably it's going to be fine for Shoulder Charge to come back to a one-hit kill at some point if they don't give them some awesome, interesting special effects on those abilities. Personally, I prefer special effects to just straight one-hit kill abilities. But, you know, I do think that Titans are probably going to deserve to be thrown a bone in the next balance patch. We'll see how it plays out.
All right, guys. Thank you very much for joining us on episode 237 of the Massive Breakdown Podcast, parts 1 and 2. And we will see you next week. I think we're going to be... Well, next week is Thanksgiving, so we'll see how we end up doing that. We'll probably do an episode early, if I had to guess.
That's usually what we try to do.
Interesting. All right, and then I believe we'll also be coming back with a new Beneath Twin Suns episode. I think we're going to do season 1 of The Mandalorian.
All right, I guess I better get watching.
Yeah, me too. That's 8 hours worth of content right there, but damn, is it good content. Also, guys, remember, if you are a Beneath Twin Suns fan, please follow, subscribe to the new feed, and leave us a review over there. It helps us out a lot. Thank you for joining us, and we'll see you next week. Bye.
Peace.